You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
Thanks everyone for joining 1 Million Cups Appleton. It's great to see so many people here today. We have an exciting guest, local guest here based out of Appleton. Today we have Matthew Daniels with Illuminus Golf. Can't wait to hear more about that. But just as a reminder, we're a weekly celebration of entrepreneurship where we feature a new entrepreneur, a new startup. They tell us about their journey, their story, and challenges that they're facing. We find ways to help out any way that we can. So today, like I said, we have a local guest, Matthew. Thanks for being here, and the floor is yours.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrew. I really appreciate the introduction and the opportunity to present and share my story and a little bit about me. So I kind of wanted to start my presentation by talking about my journey as an entrepreneur, kind of where I started and how I got to where I am today. So I'm going to take it back to my college graduation. And this is long enough ago, if you can see from the gray in the beard, that it's ancient history. But, you know, I remember walking across the stage in cap and gown, and from the peanut gallery out there, I hear, "Old man." I look up, I see my father, he stands up and he closes the checkbook. I actually have a picture of it too. It's great. But I was a non-traditional student in college. I was 26 when I went to my final university. I was on the 9-year plan for a 4-year degree. I had a lot of fun in college. And now I wasn't in college the entire time. I took some breaks here and there, a couple of years working in restaurants, a couple of years working in manufacturing. But it was during one of those breaks that I had my first business opportunity come by me. And I was working at a fairly upscale restaurant in Columbus, Ohio. The owner was looking to retire. He was done. He wanted to step down. And so he actually offered to sell the business to myself and another person who worked at the restaurant. It wasn't right for me. I was in my 20s. I wasn't quite ready to make that leap yet. So I ended up passing on the opportunity at the time. But that's really in my life one of my first big what if moments, you know, that I go back to. And it's not about regret, but it's just about what if I would have taken that leap. And so that's kind of my first big what if moment, was the offering of that business to me. Now I want to jump back to college again real quick, because my senior year, and I will say the icing on the cake of my 9-year, 4-year degree, was that my degree's in camping. So, right, there you go, Leroy. Officially, it's outdoor education, but my old man always said, you got an $80,000 degree in camping, and what are you going to do with it? So what did I walk out of college with? A 9-year degree in camping was a single word that I got from one of my adjunct professors that she taught me. She had learned this word from the Inuit people. Now, and the Inuits are fascinating people. I love them. You know, they have 40 different words for snow. Live in Wisconsin, I got quite a few choice words for snow, but not quite 40 of them. And so she taught me this word called Nuinarpuk. The word is Nuinarpuk, and there's no direct English translation, but the closest thing that she said she could find was to take extravagant joy out of being alive. To take extravagant joy out of being alive. And that, more than anything else I learned in my entire college career, has resonated with me to this day. Joy is a concept in itself that's very unfamiliar to a lot of people. We know what happiness is, but to really sit down and define joy, to me, it's something that isn't just internalized, but it's something that overflows and radiates out from me and infects other people. When I am truly joyous, people can latch onto that, and it's something that other people can feed from. So from that moment, I started my search for joy in my life. And once I found my joy, how I can have an exuberant amount of it, an excessive amount of it. So, I mean, obviously I thought the outdoors was my joy. I mean, it was my, if you could call it an academic venture, it was my academic venture. And so post-college, I took a job with a company that built rock climbing walls and ropes courses, toured all over the country, and shared my joy of outdoor experiences with people. Through that journey, I really found that my joy wasn't necessarily in sharing the experience itself, but creating the venue for people to have that experience. So really my joy ended up being in the creation of that process, not necessarily in the process itself. I had to transition away from that job. Unfortunately, I loved doing it, but injury prevented me from being able to climb anymore. And I was traveling about 300 days a year, which isn't great for a newlywed couple. So needless to say, it was get a new wife or get a new job. And I love my wife way more than I could love any job. So I was at a point in my life where I had to redefine my joy. So I kind of took my love of the outdoors and the joy that I found there and transitioned it over to retail. You know, I enjoy selling things. I liked working with people. So I found a new joy in retail. And that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, just those words, joy in retail, right? My father was a preacher, but the rest of his siblings, my grandfather, everybody in my household, in my family on my father's side was in retail. I don't know what old HC did, but I think Prangies was in their blood in Sheboygan from birth. So when I grew up, it wasn't don't do drugs, don't join a gang. It was whatever you do, don't do retail. So where did I find my joy? In retail. But I found it in so much more, again, than just providing the experience, but creating it. I started to find my joy in the numbers of retail, in creating promotions and display, and really formulating and steering the business side of retail is where I started to find my joy. So for the last 18 years, I've been in retail in one form or another, management, sales, directors, levels, positions, buyers. But last year, I found myself working in commission sales when the full weight of the pandemic hit. And let me tell you, the joy in retail was absolutely eviscerated, not only by a supply chain that couldn't support anything. You know, we built this amazingly efficient supply chain without any resiliency in it, and things that people were used to having next day now take 9 months to have. But the worst side of that was that people forgot how to be people. And that really took the joy out of retail for me. So with the support of my wife, we took a leap of faith, and I left traditional work back in May. I left to go find my joy. And so the first few weeks were fantastic. Got the honey-do list done, or caught up, got a little bit of fishing in. We had to travel to Ohio for a funeral on Memorial Day weekend. And we were stuck in the hotel because I don't know if you remember Memorial Day weather, at least up here and in Ohio, it was like 40 degrees. It was that real wicked cold snap that killed all my tomato plants. And so, you know, what were we going to do? We were stuck in a hotel, you know, waiting for a funeral in the pandemic. And my wife found this little indoor black light mini golf place. Just something for us to do for an evening instead of just sit in the hotel and sit, because we've been sitting in a car for 10 hours driving. And what an amazing little experience that was. So we're going to fast forward a month or so. We came back up to Wisconsin and sitting around kind of trying to define where I could find my joy, and realizing that my joy was in creating, and that really my joy could be and was being defined as an entrepreneur of what I wanted to do. So I sat down and I chatted with my wife. She's like, well, sounds solid. Let's see what we can do. She was familiar with the Venture Center and Amy Peach. So she steered me toward the eSeed program. So I'm currently in this summer's eSeed program. We got a couple of sessions left. I'm working on my business plan to open Luminous Golf, which is a indoor black light mini golf venue. It'll be the first in Northeast Wisconsin. The closest one is in Wisconsin Dells. And just kind of working on finishing up my business plan now through the ESEED program and hopefully be open early in 2022. So that's a little bit about me and my journey about how I got to where I am today. So thank you for enduring my speech, but I'm excited to hopefully bring Luminous Golf to the Valley here pretty quick.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much, Matthew. It was great learning about your journey and how you got to where you are today. So, all right, we'll kind of step into some questions from the crowd. Does anyone have any questions or have a question ready? Otherwise, I'm happy to swing over the first one. I guess I'll start, but how, so you've experienced this mini golf thing. I've never done blacklight indoor mini golf, but I love mini golf, so can't wait to be a customer. But how, like, you know, you kind of mentioned a little bit, but like what research or, you know, metric that you've looked into that would say that our area is a good candidate for this type of attraction? You know, I'm just curious to know, like, what was the process like, or what research have you done? Sure, yeah, kind of like point you towards that.
Yeah, I mean, as far as running the market analysis and the market research, entertainment is huge, and where a lot of the core customer for this type of attraction is, honestly, are gamers. Gaming is moving more and more into that immersive experience, you know, whether it's VR or Holo, you know, even the 75, 80 inch TVs you game in front of really give you that sense of an immersive experience. And so really what we're going after is gaming. And then, you know, you start looking at the economy of gaming itself, and there's room for more of those experiences. Looking at the Valley, there's tons of opportunities for the larger family entertainment centers, you know, the jump parks, the things like that, but they're not family inclusive. And so I think that's one of my big things. You know, if I got an 8-year-old kid, loves the trampoline parks, but what do I get to do? Sit there and watch him have fun, you know? And so looking at the market research, identifying my demographics, I've been able to make it financially viable.
Cool. One person that comes to mind, as you're talking through like your research and whatnot, is actually, I think, another EC graduate. And he also spoke at 1 Million Cups too, but have you met Zach from Midwest Super Speedway?
Yep.
Yeah. He did some pretty cool things. I don't know where he is in his business planning right now, but I just remember he like created a Facebook, you know, and kind of drew up the vision of what he wanted to create, and was able to get like a ton of really quick traction and like built his audience, which of course, like if you're trying to find financing or like, you know, other things, is helpful to kind of build your case around, you know, and it doesn't cost you anything to start a Facebook page. So anyways, I just thought that was kind of interesting, but I'm glad you know him already, because I'm sure he's probably got a lot of do's and don'ts, you know, from his experience.
Yeah, Zach was actually one of the first presenters in our EC class. He came in and, you know, did his elevator for us and talked with it. You know, the entertainment industry is quite interesting. And, you know, I mean, I look at projects like Zach's, which are, you know, 75,000-80,000 square feet. You know, I'm looking to be something much smaller that can be inserted into a neighborhood and kind of bring that little like neighborhood hangout back into style, you know, someplace for the kids to go, someplace on date night that isn't a movie where you can't talk to your date, you know, and something that you can do year round and affordable, you know, something that isn't $30 a person to go do.
I'll tell you, my wife and I, we love mini golf, and that is a frequent date night. So like I said, can't wait to be a customer. especially if it's something that we can do year round, like you said. That's a good point. Any other questions from other people? Feel free to pop in.
I got a question. I'm just really curious just about the, I guess this is kind of along the economics of mini golf.
Sure.
When you, is mini golf itself a sustainable business, or is the mini golf the attraction? And then you have to have all these other elements around it. And that's kind of where you make the bulk of your money, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. So I've talked to a number of operators across the country who own similar sized venues to what I'm looking for. Cause again, I'm looking like under 10,000 square feet, like 7,000-8,000 square feet, where the mini golf itself is the main attraction. It's very sustainable, just on that. Really the other revenue streams aside from just the greens fees, black fees, cause they're going to be black, not green, but, they're going to be, you know, some party rooms for birthday parties to be able to host birthdays. That'll account for about a sixth of the total revenue, for my projections. I do want to kind of go screen free, in this particular venue. So, my other attractions, I'm looking at blacklight air hockey and pinball, but actual physical activities that you're doing. And those would be, they would be alternative revenue streams, but nothing compared to the actual golf course itself.
And it, like, are you planning on like, is there going to be food type services involved in this, or is it just like...
Food will be available. The location I'm looking at is actually the old Family Video on Calumet and John Street.
Okay.
Marco's Pizza just moved into that location where Papa Murphy's used to be. Marco's is owned by the same company that owns Family Video. So as part of my lease negotiations, I'm actually looking at them being the supplier for all of my parties, events, and as a preferred caterer, of course, at a discount to me, so I can make a little off the service there. And that way I don't have to be a restaurateur as well as a entertainment proprietor.
I like that idea a lot. And you've had conversations with Marco's and they're very open to that, to an arrangement.
Oh yeah, they're just as excited as I am.
Cool.
You know, long-term pipe dream goals, should this take off, they happen to own about 1500 properties in the Midwest.
Many of them which are sitting empty right now.
Many of them which are sitting empty, you know, I mean, Family Dollar or Dollar Tree's taken over a number of them, but they're all that same format, small pizza store, 7,000, 8,000 square foot of empty space. And while I don't want to take over the Midwest, you know, maybe Oshkosh and Green Bay to franchise out, might be a long-term goal, but I want to get one up and running first.
Can you talk a little bit about like, what are the, like, what's the, is a blacklight mini golf course literally a golf course where you just throw up a bunch of black lights, or is there specific things in a blacklight mini golf course that make it, you know, special? Like, are we talking sure. like
yeah,
effective I mean, holes, like effects on the holes or something because of the black lights, or, you know,
a lot of it's going to depend on what I can afford. Let's be real honest there. There are some absolutely amazing immersive courses out there that literally, instead of having, you know, bricks for the outline of the hole, have LED lit, pressure sensitive. If your ball hits it, it changes color.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, as well as 3D objects and structures. So the one that I was at was a dinosaur theme, like a prehistoric theme. So there are these, all these huge, you know, plaster dinosaurs all painted to just pop under the black light. As well as, you know, the putters, the balls, the holes, the walls are black and then painted in, you know, palm trees and vegetation and eyes that all pop and glow under the black light. It really is kind of a cool immersive experience from the second you walk in to the second you leave.
Interesting.
And I will say, this is kind of crazy, going back to one of my breaks in college, but a bar that I used to go to eons ago had black light air hockey, and it was the trippiest thing ever. I fell in love with it. Oh, and if I'm going to do something blacklight, I got to put air hockey tables in there too.
And I wonder almost if there's something there where you could have, you know, maybe if you had like a small bar and they had fun cocktail drinks, and somehow, I don't know if you could do this, but like under the black light, the cocktail drink would light up or something like that, you know?
Yep.
I mean, there's got to be something you could put in it that would, you know, react with the black light. So you're just, everybody's walking around with these drinks that glow. It'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, as much as I thought about it, again, I wanted to stay away from the liquor business.
Yeah, but you know, so I haven't drank in a year.
Yep.
And I can tell you one of the things that the Fox Valley really needs is a cool place that has like drinks that aren't alcohol.
Thank you.
That people that don't drink can go and drink these fun drinks. Because when you go to restaurants and everything in the Fox Valley, when you say I don't drink, your choices are Sprite, Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, and Coke and Diet and Pepsi. So,
or coffee and water, Eric.
And coffee and water, yes.
That would be my preferred beverage.
So.
Neat idea, though. Thank you. I will I will look into doing some. I have some friends who are high-end mixologists. I'm sure if anybody knows, they do.
That is a great idea, Eric. Matthew, this is Amy. And a few years ago, I was out in Newport Beach, California, and I got so excited because we actually went into a restaurant and I got handed a non-alcoholic drink menu. And it was all the alcohol drinks, all the good drinks they made, but with just no alcohol in them. And they were just as much as an alcohol drink with no alcohol in it. But I was like, okay, when is it? It's going to be what, 5 years till this hits the Midwest?
No.
So we're still about 3 years out from that happening, I think. So yeah, be a leader.
I like it. There we go. Thank you. Great questions. Thank you. Love making me think.
I think my questions just killed the whole conversation. No. Sorry. You'll find I do that a lot, actually. So.
Super cool. Any other questions from the crowd for Matthew today? Or comments? We can open it up for comments, too. I know Ted always has, like, a good comment.
I don't know about good, but I do like Eric's comments. I just think a little kids, if they have a drink that's shiny down there, I mean, that will make them want to come back over and over, and it'll make their parents happy because they're happy. So I think that'd be a great idea. You know, again, stay with the non-alcohol, obviously, for them, but I think the kids would really get a big kick out of it, the littler ones.
Yeah. It'd be a great idea to serve at the birthday parties, you know, to have a black light punch or, you know, something like that. And yeah.
See, Ted, Eric, you do good ideas every once in a while.
Once in a while. Every 100, 1 million cups I drop an idea that's worth.
You're done for this year.
Yeah. I wonder if that like hazy white Mountain Dew wouldn't just shine under a black light. Now I got to go to the gas station. Thanks, man.
Then just go to the gas station with a black light and just kind of run along the counters. And then just go up to the front and be like, could you turn the lights off so I could get a better idea of how these work?
Sorry, was that you can't comment?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut Eric off. But Matthew, I want to say, I really love the concept of your business. I don't have little kids anymore. Our kids are all grown. We have a lot of grandchildren though. And, you know, we look for things that we can do with our grandchildren that A, don't cost a fortune, which is very little. B, grandma and grandpa can keep up with them. And C, isn't a video game that they actually enjoy. And I really think you have something that is a winner there. I think that's something that grandma and grandpa can take our adult children as well as all the grandchildren as a family day out, and we can go do this activity with our kids and grandkids. I think we'd have a blast. So I'm super excited about it. I'm going to watch for your launch and see what we can do to get everybody over there and have some fun.
Well, thank you, Kitty. Yeah. Mini golf's been around for over 100 years, and you know, kids from 2 to 102 can enjoy playing it. And with it being indoor, climate controlled, you know, 365, you know, I'm not competing for the entire day experience. I'm competing for the hour that you don't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. And so I'll be excited to have you through the door. Thank you.
I will say, I do think, your location that you mentioned is a prime spot, lot of good visibility right there. And what a perfect thing to like put into an empty space, you know.
So. Especially the east side's been hit pretty hard over the last couple of years. That stretch of Calumet, there's a couple of empty banks. You know, Applebee's closing down. All the entertainment has kind of moved out of the east side of town. It's all out by the mall or on the north side now. So I not to mention I live just down the block, so it's convenient for me too. But, you know, it's putting an investment in my hood, you know, and that's.
I do have one quick question I just thought of. You had said that you're talking right now with the landlord and trying to negotiate a lease there. Do you have a time frame of when you're hoping to sign a lease to get in there?
I'm meeting a prospective attorney next week. Just to hammer out some details of that. And then I'm probably looking at it doing an LOI within the next month.
Are you aware of Wisconsin Economic Development Corp's Main Street bounce back? Okay. Yes. Want to make sure you're aware of it, because if you're timing this right, you could qualify for that, but you have to pay for your first lease, your first month's lease, and get the lease going and get in, get the keys and get in there before you can apply. So
correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. That's all. That was all.
I saw that. I think the New North posted that on LinkedIn a number of weeks ago. And so, yeah, I've been keeping that one in my back pocket.
Good.
Awesome. Well, if there are no other questions or comments from the crowd.
I can do one more question before you wind it up. I'm just curious. This is, again, on the whole side of developing a mini golf course.
Yeah.
Is there like a company out there that you go and they hand you a catalog and you're like, this is what I want my course to look like. And then they come and build it for you. Or is it like you got to hodgepodge pieces together and build your own course?
Kind of a combination of the two. There's three main companies in the United States that build these types of attractions. And really the process is once I get my LOI signed, which is really why I want to jump on that. I will literally give them my building layout and my budget, and they will design a course specifically for that location.
Oh, that's cool.
So that way I can then take that design back to my builder and say, okay, I need to put walls here and I need electric here and get my final cost for my build out as well. So, and then of course, you know, from there it can be scaled up or down depending on about how awesome and amazing I want things can afford them to be. There's cool things that you can do by putting, sensors in the cup. So when the ball goes in, certain things happen around the hole. I mean, there's, 3D holographic, things that you can do under black lights. It's kind of the dollar sign is going to be the hang up there.
Oh, and the other thing you have to do is if it's going to be blacklight, you got to do a haunted mini golf course around Halloween.
I will admit, this has been one of my biggest struggles, and you guys would probably be a great sounding board for this, but it's theming. Like what would the theme of the course be? They offer pirate theme, underwater, outer space, wonders of the world.
What ages are you really going after? I mean,
my core demographic is going to be the date night crew, the young date night crew. So that's really going to be the kind of the 15 to 25 year range. But then again, my secondary income stream is going to be the younger kids, that birthday crowd. So
what about like the superheroes?
Licensing.
That's what I would figure. That would be pretty pricey, but that would definitely, I mean, you get both of those demographics for sure.
Yeah, I did look into that. There is one of the manufacturers of these courses does work with Marvel and Disney. So they can get the licensing, but it would pretty much double the cost of my build out.
Yeah, I would assume so. I like you mentioned the pirate. I think the pirate's a pretty good one. Outer space would be good for a black light theme because, you know, that just kind of makes sense together. Lots of stars to light up and stuff like that when you're designing the course.
And I can do 2 9 hole themes as well. So the all 18 holes don't have to be themed the same. Mm-hmm. And that also goes a little bit into the business plan, is I can sell just 9 holes or I can sell an 18 hole package. You know, so if you wanted to do pirates and underwater, you can do both. If you just wanted to do one or the other, you can do that as well. But I did also want to, whatever I choose, I want it to be something that I can be educational. So if I do an outer space theme, I want to be able to do an educational hide and seek and find actual constellations and stars and planets and the ISS and have, you know, some talking points around that to entice school groups and scout groups and those types of organizations to use the facility as well. You know, underwater, we do the Great Barrier Reef and different, you know, fish or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. That's the education side of me. I can't get away from that.
Super cool. Any other comments, questions, or anything from the crowd today?
I'm joining you guys from another city, so I'm going to some of the different 1 million Cups groups. But my thought was also to get your local libraries involved. Because they have a lot of connections with the K through 12 community sometimes, depending on the school system. And, you know, their mandate is to try to promote educational curriculum in whatever way they do it. You know, letting them know if that is, you know, kind of a model that you're going towards. I think that's a good one, because that's a way you can get that K through 12, you know, field trips and whatever else, you know, that might still be going on, but, you know, some of that educational component.
That is important to me. It's not going to be a main part of my revenue stream, but it's definitely got to be an added benefit. I mean, you got to learn while you have fun too, right? Yeah. Where are you joining us from, Farah?
Oh, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and there are quite a few Million Cups events that are still online. So it's really been good to hang out with some different chapters. So thank you for letting me hang out with you guys this morning.
Welcome to Frozen Tundra.
Sure, you've joined us in the past, right? I think I recognize.
You know, I think I did. There are about 4 different ones that I try to go to during that time slot, and it's really good because you get so many good ideas and so many just good insights, you know?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for joining us. Pleasure to have you here. Awesome. Well, we'll kind of wrap it up here. Matthew, thanks so much for sharing your journey and your business with us today. The final question for 1 Million Cups is always, what can the community do for you?
Yeah, that's always a tough one. I guess being a person asking for help or support has never been an easy thing for me. But I think at this point, you know, where I am in my plan, finishing my business, is really going to be looking for banking referrals that are going to be willing to fund an experience instead of a product. Because I know that's really tough. I mean, they're not buying cars or buildings or land. They're helping me buy an experience to share with people. Unfortunately, they don't take joy for collateral.
Matthew, you might need a non-traditional lender like Cap Services to help you out with that.
Absolutely, Kitty.
Give me a call. I would be excited as all get out to be a part of this project.
Perfect. And I can get your contact information from Amy.
I connected with you on LinkedIn. So,
oh, beautiful. Blessings. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, there you go. Already helping with some of that, that ask. But thanks so much, Matthew, for sharing your journey again with us today. And thanks everyone for coming. It's been another fun meeting of 1 Million Cups Appleton. And Eric, are we lined up for next week already?
That one, I'm not sure. I'm looking. You keep talking. I'll follow up on that answer for you.
Okay. Well, I ran out of things to talk about. So, no, stay posted.
Yeah, it looks like we are not scheduled. It looks like after this week, we are wide open.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to hustle and get some more presenters in.
We might have to have Ted come back on.
I guess maybe a check-in from Ted, yeah. Anyways, yeah, thanks everyone for coming, and we'll keep you guys posted as we fill our funnel up here and try to get aligned some more presenters. So thanks so much, everyone, and have a great week.
Thank you guys for a great
your joy. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker. and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.